Church, discipling is one of the key foundations of just healthy discipleship and a healthy ministry. Is we can't be just independent silo Christians. We need people in our lives. We need to be in other people's lives. We need people to help us become Christians, and then after that, we just can figure it all out on our own. No, we still need people for the rest of our lives that are helping us to grow to become more like Jesus. And as many of you have already probably figured, is that for as much as you had to learn and grow in before becoming a disciple, there's just as much to learn, grow, and change and learn after becoming a disciple, isn't there?
Yeah.
And so probably even far more, you know? I think we'll get to heaven and realize we hardly scratched the surface of all there was to learn and all there was in our character to grow in as we truly see Jesus for who he is. And so discipling is vital for us to have a strong ministry, to have a strong church, and for us individually to be strong as Christians. So it's needed. And so I definitely want to thank you guys for being part of that in our ministry, for helping our ministry to grow, and for people to grow as Christians by volunteering your time and your heart to disciple someone, to lead a D group, to be in a discipling relationship. We need it. And I'm sure you can look at your own life and realize, wow, I wouldn't be where I am today. I wouldn't be who I am today if it wasn't for discipling relationships. People in my life that were friends, but friends who are also trying to help me grow to be more like Jesus, who were there for me, who encouraged me, believed in me, challenged me, corrected me, taught me, trained me, all of that stuff. We've all gotten it, and none of us would be here if we didn't get it, right? So I cherish those relationships, and they're special to me. They, in some ways, are benchmarks in my Christian timeline. I'm like, oh, wow, as a baby Christian, Stanley discipled me, and then I went to Manhattan, and Ryan McCullough discipled me for a semester. Then I came back, and Dave Mitchell discipled me for a couple of years, and then Damon started discipling me, and then Larry, and then now Sam and Cynthia discipled Chelsea and I. And so, like, I almost just kind of view my, like, Christian timeline. A big piece of it is, who are the main people helping me to grow during those times, you know? And those are really special relationships. You know, it's funny, because even years later, it's been, like, 5 years since Damon discipled me, and still, we have our baby, and I'm thinking about when I'm in the hospital, who do I want to send the picture to in my first round of picture sending, and all of those people are people I included. You know, and Ryan's wife was our doula in there with us, and so that was really cool. But, you know, these are meant to be really special relationships that help us to grow, and so you need those, and then you right now are in a place where you get to be that to somebody. And so I'm hoping to give you a very practical lesson on discipling, but I just want to start with a little bit of the what and the why behind it to get started. So you guys feel good? You with me? Cool. Well, let's pray, and then let's get into this here. God, thank you so much for just all that you're doing, God. Thank you for who you are. Thank you that each one of us are on the other side of the wall of sin, God. We are not in the dark anymore. We are not walking around campus at the mercy of someone sharing their faith with us and our own humility and openness and you. And God, we're just under your mercy, God. It says in 1 Peter that we now have mercy. God, thank you for having compassion on us and forgiving us. Thank you for discipleship and that we're not just saved and then just aimlessly here and just sitting, waiting, but we have something to do. We have someone to follow. And thank you that we get to follow such an amazing Lord. Thank you for Jesus. And thank you for the relationships that you made that part of Christianity. You cannot be a Christian and not have relationships. And thank you for that, God, because I can't imagine it if it wasn't that way. I would be a mess. God, even the people I get to be in their life, I cherish so much. And God, just thank you that that's your plan for your church. Help tonight to be just a huge step forward for our ministry with discipling relationships, that you be with this time as we have a room full of people who are currently discipling people. And then later as Charles preaches on getting discipling, which applies to all of us. And God, I just pray you be with him, be with me. Use these scriptures and my words in a great way. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. So let's talk about first discipling. What is it? And I wanted to do this towards the beginning of the semester because I think God's going to bless us with fruit. But a lot of that will be determined by whether or not we're ready to take care of that fruit, you know? And so discipling is one of the key ways that we take care of fruit, of Christians, of each other. And so think it's important that heading into semester, we're all, okay, we're going to have great discipling relationships. I'm going to learn how to do this so that as we baptize people and stuff, we can take care of them. So I think it would be good if you all left here able to very simply in one sentence say what discipling is. And there's an obviously not, you can't open Webster's and it says what it is. It's actually, you'll get a red scribble that it's not a real word. And it's because we made it up. It's to disciple somebody is a thing. Discipling is the act of to disciple somebody, right? So we're disciples of Jesus. So discipling is focused on who? Jesus. And a disciple is a student, right? A learner, a student, a follower. So discipling is studentshipping someone of Jesus, you know, helping them to, I'm trying to come up with some sort of official definition there, but does that make sense? Yep. Discipling, that's the goal. You're trying to, it's not an appointment. It's not a counseling session. It's we have a relationship where you're a disciple of Jesus. I'm a disciple of Jesus, and I'm trying to help you be a disciple of Jesus. Therefore, I'm discipling you in Christ, right? So, discipling is a relationship, helping someone transform more into Jesus. I'd give that as a definition. I'd include the word relationship, something to do with changing, and Jesus, right? A relationship, helping someone transform into the fullness of Jesus. And you're there to help them do that, not be the sole responsible one of that, right? But discipling is a relationship. It's not just an appointment. It's not, well, I meet with them once a week, I talk to them, and then I leave, and then we meet again next week. It's a relationship. And so I think about passages that we see in the Bible, like Paul, who discipled Timothy. And 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1 to 7, you could read as Paul writes to Timothy, and he says things like in verse 2, to Timothy, my dear son. And then in verse 3, he says, I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. Then he goes on to talk about how he knows about his family and stuff. And so you see Paul and Timothy had a relationship. Is that clear to you guys? He's saying, look, night and day, I constantly remember you, and I'm going to be so happy when I see you again. That's a relationship. In chapter 3, verse 10, Paul writes about how to Timothy, you know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me. You know, they knew each other well. It was a relationship. This was the way Jesus' discipling was. And John 15, he tells them to remain in him, which is a relationship, remain in me. And then he says to them, look, I call you my friends. And greater love has no one than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. I no longer call you servants, but friends, right? And so we've got to imitate Jesus, and Paul, as he imitated Jesus, and the discipling relationship is a relationship. It's a friendship. It's a partnership. And so have that in mind. It's a relationship. And as far as how to disciple, what to do, we'll get into some practicals, but you know, the greatest commandment is to love God and then to love others as yourself. And then what does it say about that? It says all the other commands, what? Hang on those two things, right? And so, you know, there's a lot of practicals to learn. There's a lot to learn. But if you could just rewind back and go, in simplicity, what is a discipling relationship? It's a relationship you're invested in to help that person grow and be their best spiritually. And then all the practicals, if you have that mindset, I'm here to invest in this person, to be there for them, to do whatever it's going to take to help them grow, then all the practicals will flow from that. All the commands will hang on that. Does that make sense? So what is a discipling relationship? I hope that's clear to you. Why do we have them? I said some at the beginning about how we obviously need them to grow. Why do we have discipling relationships? Matthew 28, Jesus gives the Great Commission. Go make disciples, baptizing them and doing what? Teach them to obey everything, right? Post-baptism, pre and post, right? It's teach them to obey everything. When is that finished? Is any disciple ever going to say, I have been taught to obey everything Jesus commanded. I don't need anyone to teach me to obey anything else. No. As long as a disciple is alive, they need someone to teach them to obey everything. All right? And so you can't be a disciple and not be discipled. You can't be a disciple and not have people teaching you to obey Jesus. You need to be teaching yourself that through your quiet times, but also have people in your life doing that. So why do we have discipling? Because Jesus said to do it, and because Jesus did it himself. He discipled people, and we're following his example, right? So we do that. There's also tons of passages that command us to blank one another, blank each other, right? And those are one another relationships. And there's corporate things the Bible teaches to do in big groups, but a lot of passages talk about, you know, admonish one another. You know, I know that you're competent to instruct one another. You know, encourage one another daily. And so there's all these passages that if you just showed up at church and had this big macro relationship with people where no one was really involved in your life, then you wouldn't be obeying any of those passages. And so discipling relationships are there as a structure to help us obey all of these passages. Hey, I know you could get this from other people too, but let's at least us be bonded with this focus together. I'm going to disciple you. You're going to help me. We're going to be a discipleship group, whatever you want to apply it to, but we can't practice these scriptures without them. Does that make sense? On top of it, I think part of why God established this is we all can't see ourselves clearly all the time. There's only so much of yourself you could see, probably around 50%. The whole backside is a little bit tough unless you have a mirror, right? So spiritually, same thing. You can't see, there's things you don't realize. There's pride about yourself you don't realize. There's weaknesses. There's strengths you have that you don't realize that you need someone to encourage you with and point out to you. And so we just can't have fullness discipleship unless we have people that are seeing us as well. So I hope you understand what discipling is, why we do it. Do you all feel good about that? Yeah. Cool. So now just getting to how to do it a little bit. So I want to talk about, in terms of how, I want to talk about during a discipling time, just some practicals I want to give you. And then after that, I want to talk about just a handful of things outside of the discipling time. Does that make sense? Once again, it's a relationship, and relationships don't have on and off switches. They're 24/7, right? If you're in a relationship, you're always in it, unless you end it, right? So you're either in a relationship with somebody or you're not. And so I just want to put that out there. It's not an appointment. You're not only discipling somebody for that 1.5 hours once a week. You're in their life, right? And that's what I want to bring up again. How do you disciple somebody? If I could just put any big umbrella statement on it, it's you love them. How do you disciple someone? You love them. You know, Jesus said all the other commands hang on that. So do you need to know them? Yes. You need to know, I need to correct, rebuke, encourage. Okay, I got to know I need to do those things. But if you know you need to love them, then you'll do those things. You'll figure that stuff out. You know, why? Because if you love somebody, if Charles is falling into sin and I love him and I see that, I'm going to figure out, man, do I need to pray with him? Do I need to rebuke him? I'll figure that out because I love him. Rather than just, am I supposed to rebuke him now? You know, but no. Like, you'll figure it out if you care, right? So Jesus says so many times, love each other. A new command I give you, love one another, love each other. And we apply that to everybody, but most of the time, the context of that, he's talking to his disciples. Saying, look, I'm going to leave, love each other. That's how you're going to grow. That's how you're going to do this. You got to love each other, right? And so that's what we got to remember at the end of the day is this is about loving them. I'd say it's about serving them. This, if you're discipling somebody, it's not a role of authority. It's a role of servanthood. You're there to serve that person. Does that make sense? It's kind of something people miscue the Bible teaches about a husband and a wife's role. It's the husband leads. No, it's a servant leadership. You're there to support your wife, right? And to lead them through servanthood. And it's the same with the discipling relationship. I disciple you. You're actually the one now who needs to get down on your knee, take off your towel and wash their feet. That's how Jesus discipled, was through service and love. Does that make sense? So if you're discipling somebody, maybe you're the one leading it, but you're leading through service to them. You're doing them a service. Does that make sense? So that's there. There's a lot of practicals for discipling. Train them, teach them, encourage them, guide them, support them, mature them, correct them, admonish them, rebuke them. All of these can be found in scriptures, right? But I would just say, these are all tools of discipling, but the umbrella is you love, and then you use those tools in your love. Does that make sense? All those things I just mentioned are going to be needed at some point to help somebody truly grow to be like Jesus. You can't always encourage and support and never correct or rebuke and expect someone to turn out like Jesus. You can't always rebuke and correct and train and never support, guide, encourage, comfort and expect someone to turn out like Jesus. Right? We all need all of those things, and we need the right ones at the right times, and some we need more than others. Right? Like it says, encourage daily. It doesn't say rebuke daily. You got to do both, but maybe encourage more. Right? So I remember being taught, give 10 encouragements for every one rebuke. And not like I follow that strictly. I'm sorry, you guys. But it's a good idea, you know? Let's encourage and also let's correct. But so during a discipling time, what do you do? I would start with meeting the present need, right? So is there something going on in their life that just rises to the top of the priority list? Maybe you were planning on talking about something else, but you sit down and they bring up, I just got in a huge fight with my parents. You don't go, well, we'll get to that. I wanted to talk to you today about how you relate to midweek. No. Wow. Table that. Talk about, man, so what happened? And maybe there's stuff they need to learn out of that, but maybe they need some comfort too and some encouragement. And, you know, so I'm saying during a discipling time, meet the greatest need in their life right now, right? And so start with that. Meet the need. Figure out what those needs are. It's easy to do that by just asking, how's it going? What's going on? How's your day been? And there just being a culture there of openness and talking and not hiding things or whatever, but just letting that you know, here's what's going on in my life. And a lot of times, most of the time, there's not going to be some huge thing like that. There might be some little thing, but nothing like, all right, I need to throw my plans out and focus on this. But when that happens, do that, okay? Meet the biggest need. I would start with catching up on things, like I was just saying. You share about your life too, but let them share. How's your day going? How's your week been? How are you? And that helps you just to be in touch with each other as friends, right? And if you talk regularly, you might even already know how some of those things are, and it's just a daily update, not a weekly update. When you're discipling time, let them talk. Learn to be a good listener. You know, you don't want to sit down and do all the talking and not hear them. So let them talk, share about their day and what they want to talk about. Be a good listener. There might be something to evaluate after your next discipling time. Did I do 90% of the talking, or did I let them talk? You know? Maybe it's the other way around and you need to talk to them about letting you have a word or two during your times together. During any discipling time, I would pray together. It can be easy to meet up and to forget to do that, you know, but I just have that as a conviction. Every time we sit down together, we're going to bring Jesus into this. We're going to pray together. The beginning or the end, let's pray together. One of the biggest practicals that I'm going to give you right now, but not talk a lot about because Charles is talking about it in his lesson. So I'm talking to you guys about discipling, leading a discipling time. Charles is preaching tonight for everybody on how to receive discipling. Does that make sense? So lots of times you try to do both in one lesson and it's just too much. So we're splitting it. But one of the greatest practicals I could give you for during a discipling time is teach your D group or whoever you disciple to come prepared. Yeah. That they don't just come and go, what do you got for me? You know, but they're already thinking, this is about their walk with God. So they should be thinking about it even more than you are. And so teach them to come prepared. You know, later on I'll get to a few things, but that should be a big thing is come with questions, come with stuff you want to talk about, come with advice you want to get, it's to come prepared, come with something to talk about. If anybody should be able to sit down and say, so what do you got? It should be you, not them, right? Because they're coming to be served by you. So it's, here's my need. Not you going, all right, what's the need? They should be presenting that, right? And then maybe there's some needs that you see that they're not seeing, and those are the things you want to bring up. During any discipling time, you want to use the Bible. Just make sure that Jesus is talking, not just you guys, right? Use the Bible. Help them to get conviction from the scriptures, decisions made from the scriptures, their heart and mind changed from the scriptures. Same mindset as studying the Bible with someone. You would never meet up for a study and not look at a scripture. Did you have a study with this guy today? You wouldn't say yes if you didn't look at a scripture. Did you have a discipling time with somebody today? If you didn't use a scripture, maybe you didn't. You know, the scriptures are what teach us, and that's what we need to use. You know, a lot of familiar passages, 2 Timothy 3, right? Scriptures are useful to teach, rebuke, correct, and train to help you or someone else be thoroughly equipped for every good work, right? Hebrews 4, that we need to let the word of God, which is a double-edged sword, penetrate the heart and the mind, right? And judge the thoughts and attitudes of someone's heart and to help them. We got to use the scriptures to do that. You can't do that. The scriptures can do that. Colossians 1, 28 and 29. I think if you disciple somebody, I would encourage you to memorize this passage. Such an amazing verse that Paul writes here. In Colossians 1, 28, Paul writes, "We proclaim him," Jesus, "admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end, I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me." This is so great on so many levels. One, Paul's making it clear that it's not his strength or his power that's making the difference. It's God's working through him, giving him the energy and the strength. He says, we proclaim him, making everyone perfect in Christ. Jesus is the obvious focus. Jesus is the obvious goal. There's huge vision there. Present everyone perfect in Christ. We're not just going to do some shallow discipling here. We're going to really get in there, teach, admonish, and help change people. You know, this is a great passage, but we got to teach and admonish with the scriptures. So use the scriptures in every discipling time. And on top of that, I would say, this is something I'm going to talk about for a few minutes here, but you need to really listen to the Spirit in your discipling. You know how you're walking on campus and you see somebody and for some reason you just feel like, I need to share with them? Or I gotta go talk to them or whatever, you know, and you interpret that as the Spirit was like Philip to the Ethiopian eunuch, like go talk to him, you know. I think God does that too in our relationships with each other. You know, there's times where you're with somebody or you're in a discipling time or you're not, you're spending time with somebody and you just kind of are getting a whiff of something. Maybe it's pride, maybe it's sketchiness on some level, like, that just doesn't add up, what you just said there, you know? And you know you're in conversation sometimes and things just don't add up, or you're starting to sense some bitterness or pride, or there's just a hint of something there. You know what I'm talking about? And discipling relationships have got to be there to help bring up and listen to the Spirit to deal with those things. You know, if you're sensing there might be something wrong, don't wait until it becomes just blaringly obvious to bring it up. If you care about somebody, you know, we just brought Tyler to the doctor this week. He didn't seem sick, but he was coughing a little bit. And so even though I felt like he's fine, Chelsea was like, he's coughing, our family's been sick, let's just take him. And so he didn't have a fever, he didn't have, you know, X, Y, and Z, but he was coughing a little bit. And so we took him, and good thing we did, because he's a newborn infant, and if it was something, it would be very serious. And he turned out to be totally fine. But it's still this just hint of sickness, let's deal with it. Before we wait too long and now it's this big deal where we got to take him to the hospital like we did with Bradley and all sorts of stuff, you know? So spiritually, if there's a hint of something, bring it up and deal with it before it becomes this blaring issue and something way more difficult to deal with, you know? I do think you've got to know they're primarily responsible for their Christianity. But you're partially responsible if God has put you in their life to help them. You don't want to be like Cain who killed his brother and God's like, where is he? And he's like, am I my brother's keeper? Yeah. Like, God was not happy with that response, you know? Man, he's using all this impurity. Did you ever ask him about it? No. Could you? Well, I felt like something was wrong, but there was no obvious signs. You gotta, hey, what's going on? You know, and if there's anything not adding up, out of love for somebody, you've got to ask questions, bring stuff up and dig and care. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, I think discipling one another relationships is so important for the church because it deals with sin it deals with yeast at the ground level before it spreads through the whole batch of dough. Because it starts in one person, and if we can confine it there and rebuke it and drive it out, then it doesn't have time to spread to somebody else.
Right.
And then it doesn't have time to become a sinful culture in our ministry or in the church. So if we're missing things in the discipling relationship, we're now risking it spreading to somebody else and it becoming a culture that Satan has implanted in our ministry. That's now a big thing that needs to get dealt with. Does that make sense? What are some things that could be yeast at the ground level? Impurity. Interest in non-Christian men or women. There's just this sinful nature in us that when we, as soon as we see somebody else doing something we're tempted with, it somehow becomes easier to give into. As soon as you know somebody else is doing it, it's like, well, they're a Christian. And, you know, and it, we just deal with things while it's in one person before it spreads to another person. Bitterness is huge. Satan always tries to work through bitterness in the church. And it always starts with one person or two people. And so you want to help people work through any hint of bitterness you see. Hints of greed, hints of division or independence, you know, and distancing from relationships. Any hints of unspiritual attitudes you want to deal with immediately. Any hints of inactiveness in their Christianity. You know somebody doesn't have a quiet time for a few days or they miss a couple meetings of the body. That can very quickly become their new Christianity or their habit if it's not dealt with while it's still a new misstep before it's now the path they're walking, right? And so while they're just only one or two steps off the track, let's get them back on instead of waiting until it's like snap, they've gotten far. Does that make sense?
Right.
I do think, you know, as I've looked at our New Jersey ministry in the 7.5 years that I've been in it and leading it, I do think that one of my weaknesses that I see in my past that I've also seen be a ministry weakness is waiting till things are, the house is on fire before dealing with it. You know, out of fear, apathy, or insecurity, or I don't know what to say, or probably the biggest thing is just I just don't like confrontation. And conflict, and then that's what you reap, is just a bigger mess. And then I have to deal with it, and it's worse, you know? And so, you know, this is something I really want to see us grow in is, hey, let's really build relationships where we bring up stuff right away before it spreads through the whole batch of dough. You could write some verses down. Galatians 5, 7-9 talk about dealing with the yeast before it spreads through the whole batch of dough. Galatians 5, 16-25 is a list of acts of the sinful nature and then a list of acts of the flesh. You know, you want to encourage and help build the acts of the Spirit into people, and you want to help notice, bring up, and continually work out the deeds of the flesh in people. And all of those might start at the hint level before they become lifestyle, right? And so you want to bring them up. Ephesians 5, 1-3. It says, let there not even be a hint of sexual morality, impurity, or greed of any kind, which is idolatry, right? And so, let there not even be a hint. It's way easier. Like, I just hope you guys understand this. If I disciple JD and there's some bitterness brewing in him, I should notice that way before it gets to a point where finally someone who doesn't disciple him notices that. And so, I should have dealt with it before it even got to that level. Because by the time a campus minister notices it, it's probably because it's now not just JD, but it's this whole front row here. And it's like, wow, I'm really noticing our ministry is like this now. If a whole group is now becoming some way, it's because it's spread through a bunch of people. Does that make sense? And so I just hope you guys understand, for the church to be healthy and grow, we've got to have relationships where if you see something, you say something.
Yeah.
If you hear a cough, you're concerned out of love, are you sick? I'm going to inspect. I'm going to ask questions. I'm going to do, okay, check your, are your lungs okay? Is your ears okay? You know, that's what my doctor did. He checked his lungs in the front, the back, checked his ears, nose, mouth. He's okay. You know, so, well, how's it, you know, and really asking questions. Hebrews 3, 24-25 says, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. We've got to see to it that we don't have these things. Then it says, encourage one another daily. It's a one another passage. Hebrews 4, verse 14 to 17 talks about, you know, I'll just read this one since I didn't read any of the others. You guys following me? You good? Hebrews 14, verse 14 to 17. It says, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who sold for a single meal his inheritance rights as the oldest son. So it's saying, look, see to it that no one misses the grace of God. We don't want to see people walk away from God's grace, do we? And at the end of the day, that's their decision. But if God's put you in their life, see to it that they don't. Give it your best shot. People are baby Christians. You've got to be in there daily, talking to them, encouraging them, making sure you're meeting up with them. Because Satan goes after baby Christians. And you want to see to it that they don't miss the grace of God. It was Hebrews 4, 14 to 17. And, you know, if people are going through a rough time, you got to really be there for them, because Satan goes after people who are going through rough times in life, right? Or if people are really just drifting and not doing well spiritually, you don't want to just let them drift, but fight to pull them back in. See to it that no one misses the grace of God. Deal with seeds before they are roots. Deal with hints before they become huge, right? So if you could just remember that, then hopefully that will push you past your fear of conflict or whatever it is that's keeping you from bringing stuff up. Amen? As you confront things, I would encourage you to ask a lot of questions. Just in discipling times in general, ask questions. Instead of just telling them, here's what I think. What do you think? What do you think you should do? Because you're trying to help them to learn how to think on their own with the scriptures, to develop their own faith and convictions. Through asking questions is the only way you'll know where they're at and their understanding and their convictions. And that's the only way that real progress is going to be made. Does that make sense? So ask good questions. And that's going to help things to go well. Not just always giving an answer right away, but what do you think? What do you feel? What do you think you should do? Is there a scripture? I'll say get things. This is just like random bullet points at this point here. In your discipling times, whether conflict is brought up, something confessed, or whatever it is, you got to lead the time to be solution-oriented. Amen. You don't want to let sin be brought up and let this just become this downward spiral where you both leave just depressed and feeling even worse than when you sat down. Well, they're not doing well. Now I'm just burnt out. Solution-oriented. Leave the times moving forward, Christ-focused. Don't let a discipling time become a venting session. Right, you've got to figure out, just stop people and go, look, where do you think Christ is wanting you to end up in this situation? Well, let's figure out how to get you there. I'll keep listening, but it just seems like you're letting Satan take you down a dark road. And let's remember, Christ is involved. He is all powerful. There's always hope in him. I mean, sometimes you might just need to stop people and just say, look, let's bring Jesus into this. And with him, there's always hope. There's always good news. There's always something good going on. Does that make sense? So get things solution-oriented. I would say, as much as you want to confront things and bring stuff up, you see, always be also aiming to encourage them, share about growth you see in things, victories that you see them having, that you're proud of them, you're grateful for them. And as I said earlier, give even more of that than the other, right? Encouragement, especially about growth you see. If you talk about something and then you notice them, even an inch, growth, encourage the snot out of it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like anytime Bradley does anything right, I'm like, good boy. I mean, it's like, I love when he claps for himself. I'll say good boy and he'll just, you know, just positive reinforcement, you know, encouragement. It goes a lot longer of a way. Just a couple more things here. As things get brought up, like I said earlier, ask questions. Don't just tell them what to do. Teach them who to be and teach them what to do, right? You want them to walk away having, if they face the exact same situation tomorrow, feeling confident that they'll know how to handle it and not need to come to you to ask the same question again. Not that it'd be wrong for them to ask you again, but do you understand the difference? If they just, well, what should I do? You tell them, they do it, and then it happens again a week later. What do I do? You tell them, they do it. No, teach them. Well, what do you think you should do? Why should, what do you think? Is there a scripture, you know? And so you're trying to have complete transformation. That involves actions, but also attitude, heart, character, faith. And so you're trying to work on all of that stuff in somebody. Philippians 1 verse 9 to 11 talks about that. I'll read this to you quick. Philippians chapter 1 verse 9 to 11. Paul writes, "This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ." And so Paul's saying, I want you to be able to discern what is best and leads to righteousness, right? And so he's trying to teach them so that they understand God and Jesus better, and then therefore themselves learn how to discern what is best and righteous. And so you could think of this on three levels in your discipling. If something comes up, think about it on the head level, right? They're thinking. Where's their thinking at? Are they thinking the right way about this? Is their thinking biblical? Is it Christ-like? Where's their thinking at with this? Are they just thinking about it wrong? Right? And so asking them, what are you thinking? What verse is helping you think that? And just evaluating their thinking on it and going, you know, I just think you're thinking about this the wrong way. And guide their thinking into Jesus' way. The second level is the heart, right? So it's the mind, but then it's also the heart. How are you feeling about this? What do you want to do? You know, I think that's a good question. You know, well, what do you want to do? That exposes the heart. Well, I want to yell at him. Okay. Well, what do you think Christ would want you to do? Forgive him. Okay, well, what do you think can help you to forgive him? Is there a scripture that you could think of that we could read right now? And if they say no, be like, okay, well, let's look one up together, you know, and Google scripture to help forgive somebody. I don't know, you know? And trying to help their heart. What are you feeling? Are you surrendered? Heart stuff. And then the third level is hands, the practical, you know? So they're thinking, their heart, and then, so what needs to change? What tomorrow is going to be different? What are you going to do about this? What are you going to do differently? What scripture is going to help you do that? Got to get to all those levels. Help their thinking, help their heart, help their actions. Not just the last one. And not just any of them. Does that make sense? So, as you do all these things, I always think it's good to share from your own experiences, your own victories, defeats, your own mistakes, your own good decisions, all of it. But wholeness discipling. I wanted to offer to you guys a discipling time structure that could help you. I think I've given you one in the sense that meet up, see what gets brought up, give them stuff to come with. But do you guys feel like there's a lot of times where you meet, and hey, if you have a discipling time once a week and you cut out holidays and stuff, you're sitting down with somebody 40-something times a year probably. So do you guys feel like there's times where you meet up and you're just like, I don't know what to bring up, what to talk about, they don't have anything really? So I just want to offer you some ideas for those times that you could have just in your back pocket, like, well, if all else fails and there's nothing, 10 minutes goes by, we dealt with all their questions, I don't have anything to bring up, what could we talk about? It goes with our plugged-in theme really well. Talk about God, talk about the church, talk about the lost. First, talking about God. Let's just talk about how your relationship with God's going. Is there anything you need to confess or that you've been tempted with lately? How are your quiet times going? Your prayer times, your times in the Word. What are you learning about God? Are you connecting with Him in prayer? So you right there, all that stuff I just said, could you see that taking a good chunk of time? You could do that every week. And something in there is going to take a chunk of time. And then whatever gets brought up from that might lead you to different scriptures together or conversations. Then talk about the church. How's it going with the church? How's your relationships? Is there anybody you're in conflict with right now or having feeling towards? Let's talk about that and help them get it resolved. Is there any new people you're building relationships? Is there anybody you're interested in and talking about that? If there's anybody they disciple, You're talking about that. How's that brother doing? Is there any help you need helping them? And talking about that. Their devotion to the body. Anything that would fall under that umbrella. And then the lost. You know, how's it going meeting new people? Is there anybody that, have you been following up with people? Is there anybody new that you're studying with? Or, you know, if you just took that structure, if you didn't already have stuff prepared to talk about and they did, could you see that being helpful?
Yeah.
You know, and it would be very thorough, you know, and maybe some would take the whole time and others wouldn't or whatever, but that's there. You could also just pick a topic. You know, the study series, we're like, today we're going to study out the Word. Today, discipleship. Today, sin. After you get baptized, it's not like there's no other topics to learn about. Do a D time on communion and how important that is and understanding that better. Do a D time on worship and singing to God and how important that is. Or serving the poor. Do a D time on contribution. Do a discipling time on school and doing well in school, on work, on handling money well, on discipline. Do a discipling time on lateness and being on time to think. I mean, there's so many more topics you could do discipling times on. And they would just be good Bible studies. Does that make sense? I can even email you guys a packet that I made that I'm still working on that's got, I don't know, 40 to 50 topics with a list of 3 to 10 scriptures on each topic. And basically you would, $20. No, I'm just kidding. And that maybe you could be get ideas from it. You know what? Yeah, let's just D-time this week. Let's do a D-time on communion. And let's study that out together. You know, just help teach them more from the scriptures. You know, and then obviously, like I said earlier, if coming with the plan, be willing to divert from it if a greater need arises. I know Shauna shared this with me. I think this is a great idea. For the women she disciples, she's given them a list of things that they could think about ahead of time and come ready to talk about. And that's something you could do is maybe you could give them, hey, before every D time, think through these 5 things and come ready to talk about them. Here's some of those things. One of them is good news. And I added to it, or just personal update. So think about, is there anything you want to share or just anything going on in your life you want to talk about? Secondly, confession. Have them think ahead of time about, man, is there anything I need to get open about that I haven't? Third thing, and I'll email you my notes as well, you guys, so that can help you. The third thing, is there any help or advice or questions you have about yourself? So things you read in your quiet times, things you're learning about yourself, things you're struggling with, things, decisions that you're trying to make, maybe, you know, things coming up in your near future. So is there anything in my life or my own walk with God that I want help with or to ask advice about? Fourthly, same thing but about other disciple relationships. Is there any help or advice or questions I have about other relationships with other disciples that I have? Maybe conflict you're in with somebody. Something you notice about somebody that you want to help them with and don't know how to. People you they disciple and they want help with or something like that. And then lastly, any help, advice, or questions they have about people they're reaching out to. Man, there's this kid in my class we talk every week. I haven't asked him to study yet. How would you bring it up? Or I'm studying with this guy and we're just stuck. He's not reading his Bible every day. Just encouraging them, come with questions about the mission, people that you're studying the Bible with. Does that make sense? So you could use that or you could come up with your own questions. Any of those would work. I'll email this to you guys so you can get this other list of practicals. But I do think Charles is going to say a lot of things that apply not just to getting but giving discipling. Before D times, I would each week make sure it's set up, it's confirmed, it's ready to go. You know, when you're meeting, where you're meeting, you're confirming it, you're thinking it through yourself. Is there anything you want to talk to them about, bring up after the discipling time? Pray for them, follow up on things if there was anything that was talked about the next day. Hey, how's it going with that? Hey, how did it go with that talk you had? How did it go sharing with that person in class? Following up because you're part of their life. Encouraging progress, noticing if there is progress or not. That's something, I'll say that quick. If you talk to somebody about something, don't just go, well, I talked to him about it. That's not the end of it. Now you got to watch and see, do they get it? Are they changing? Bring it up again. Hey, what are you thinking about our conversation the other day? You know, and they forget. Well, you know, you want to have the talk, but then thorough discipling is following up and having more conversation about it and noticing things. Does that make sense? Cool. So I'll send you the rest of these, but in general, discipling is a relationship that you're invested in to help them grow to be more like Jesus. And you'll do whatever it takes to do that. There's going to be times you need to train, teach, guide. I would say always pray for them. Like Paul said about Timothy, pray every day for the people you disciple. Pray every day for them, specific things, because you're in their life. I would even put out there, hold yourself to the standard of trying to talk to them every day. Whether it's a text, a call, a box, an email, in person, somehow aim for every day. And if you don't hit it, but you hit 5 days a week, that would be awesome. But it says encourage one another daily, right? And so just daily conversation, daily relationships is going to help a lot. Do things besides just regular D times together. Sometimes just have fun together. Serve people together. Share your faith together. Make memories together. Do fun things together. That's all going to help a lot. I think it's good to get to know people's family and stuff. You know, I do think, you know, when I see, you know, Matt's dad or Greg and Sue, or I see Mark or Margaret, or you know, when I was at the hospital with Kyrie and saw his mom there, and when I've seen Charles's mom, those people, I want to connect with them because they're part of these guys' life that I'm part of, you know? And so, you know, get to know people's life and their family, be a relationship in their life. I hope this was helpful to you guys. I'll email you these notes, and you can look through them some more, but talk to each other about this. I hope it's not overwhelming. It's not overwhelming if you could just rewind back and understand, look, I'm going to be devoted to this person. Whether I need to bring stuff up, challenge, correct, rebuke, encourage, whatever, I'm going to help them be their best for God and become more like Jesus and not fall away. They're not going to miss out on the grace of God if it's on my watch. And you're going to give it all you've got, right? And you're going to be connected daily. You're going to pray for them. You're going to have meaningful times together every week that's dealing with their issue or coming with stuff you want to talk to them about, or just talk through God, church, lost, or what do you need help with. That we're going to have meaningful times every week with the people we disciple. Do you guys see that if we do that, our ministry will grow a lot more?
Yes.
In spirituality, in discipleship. And if that happens, will more people become Christians?
That's right.
Yes, because the Lord will add to our number, seeing that we're responsible with the number he's already given us. And that we'll be able to, I really like discipling to be a thing in our ministry that's practiced very well, so that as we baptize more people, and somebody who's never discipled somebody now needs to, you could just tell them, look, just do to them what I've been doing for you.
Yeah.
The relationship we've had, you just go be that for them.
Amen.
And if we can establish a great example of discipling starting now, then as our ministry grows to double, triple, we'll have laid a foundation of what it looks like to really be in each other's lives that way. Does that make sense? Awesome. I'll take a